going on? You like that new intro, you mother father? Pretty dope, isn't it? Yeah. Some dude in India set that up for me. Appreciate you, guy in the middle on the other side of the earth. Got a new background and got a new schedule. Look at the new guy. You give me another week, we might even figure out how to fucking simulcast this shit, because I gotta tell you, it didn't go so well today. What's up, new guy? My name's James, better known as the Degenerate 75. I'm a DFS content creator who is here to help you get a little bit better at PGA DFS. I'm not going to do it picks and plays and all that silly nonsense. I'm going to try to teach you a little thing called the process and try to help you get better at the game. If that sounds fun, I encourage you to hang around. I promise you, there's nobody you will ever meet who is more of a sweaty tryhard at PGA DFS than me, so I can probably teach you a thing or two, all right? Take as much as what you want or as little as you want, okay? Yeah, if you find you like the cut of my jib, yeah, check out that schedule right there. I do this show every Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. Of course, that's in the Lord's time zone. But don't forget, this isn't the only show I do. This is the week-long show, a.k.a. Kicking the Nuts. But I also do a first look show with Tambo on Mondays. And of course, do not forget about round 3 and round 4 showdown every Friday and Saturday night at the conclusion of the rounds, round 2 and round 3, right? That's the schedule. Figure it out. You can follow me on Twitter. Look at that. It's a pretty dope little schedule right there. Got to give it up to the big guy. Bringing it. You also need to know up front, the big guy, not a poor. I am giving away a 555 ticket tonight, and I'm giving away 3 free months over to Ship It, and all you gotta do is be over here in the chat. Well, to win the 555 thing, you need to like and retweet on Twitter, but you know what I meant, right? So that's what we're gonna do. So make sure you're hitting the like. If we get the 300 likes, I might even give away a bonus. Might even give away a bonus. The big guy's feeling rather giving tonight. And this is sponsored by AD Smith. So even though I'm not a poor, my dude AD Smith is sponsoring this. And here's a picture of us on the 16th. Yes, I'm like famous and stuff. So like I got onto like 16 to like watch a little golf. Honestly, it fucking sucked. It was way too busy, way too many people in there. Took my picture, got the fuck out of there. Go hang out with the normal people, right? I did get to be in a doughy neckbeard. Not as tough in person as he is on Twitter. Fucking shocking. Just shocking that that's the case. So once again, thanks to Andy. Another picture, because if you don't know, the big guy was at Phoenix at the meetup. There's the crew right there. To call it a rousing success would be an understatement. It was wild. I enjoyed meeting all of you guys and girls. It was a good time. Are we going to do another one? Probably, but I got to tell you right now, my liver and my body are still trying to recover from that shit, so it is not high on the menu to run and do another one of those. Okay, you're wondering, hey, where the hell do all your Topo Chicos go? Down my drain along with some Don Julio, okay? Because the big guy was pounding some ranch waters. Full of regret and remorse. That's all I can say. All right, here we go, new guy. Enough talking about me. Let's make this about you. A very simple question we use to kick off the stream every Wednesday night, and it's this very simple question. Hey, new guy. We love new guys around here, and there's more of them every week. Here you go, new guy. Your first chance to be a hero. Have you made your lineup yet? You have. Every new guy has. Don't you lie. I know you thought this was a trick question. You've made your lineups. You can't make your lineups until you've watched this stream. There's too much relevant, pertinent information out there you need to know that you haven't even considered, and now you're like married to your stupid picks, and you need to get away from that way of thinking, okay? We're going to start what we always do, contest selection. Let's just be real. DraftKings putting out some good contests, Bob. They're putting out some pretty good ones. This week, not as good as last week, in my opinion, but the big $5. I told you this thing would be full by the end of this stream. It will be full by the end of this stream. People love this big $5 drive the green. Only 16% to first, which is really nice. Second place we like to see, second be half of first. It's only 40%. And 10th place we like to see is 1/10. It's at 1/50. So they did nerf the really nice one, right? This is what they tend to do with the lotteries. Hell, even the big $25 is actually pretty good. Look at that. What is this? 21% to first. Second place is 60% of first. That's fucking rarity. And then 10th place is 183rd. Don't love that. Don't love that, Bob. Like, think about it. If you max entered this thing, right, and you got 9th place, there's still a decent chance you're going to lose money. Imagine beating 56,400 people and you still lose for the week. Welcome to lotteries, bro. That's why I just don't play in those, right? Why don't you have like any millionaire maker hits? Well, that's pretty simple. I don't fucking play in them. That's why, okay? Because I enjoy having money and, you know, like grinding out a profit. Call me old school. From there, there's just a lot of good contests, man. I'm telling you, the 254 max, I've already harped on it. Look, here's the rule. I'm not going to go through all these contests. Here's the rule. Determine how much money you are comfortable playing this week, whether that's $5, $20, $100, whatever your number is, and then go make your player pool and see how many lineups you like. If you find you only like 6 guys, well, then run a single entry out there, you mother father. If you find you like 40 guys, well, that's probably too many. Shave that bitch down to 20 or 25 and go toss 150 lineups in the 50 cent, right? In the mini max, right? And then you can still get a full week's worth for $75, and you got exposure to a bunch of different players. Let your player pool decide how many lineups you're going to play. Or no. Let your player pool decide what contest you're going to enter, and then still keep that within your budget. If you want to play 20 lineups this week and you only play $60 a week, well, then play in the $20 three max, right? That's how you do it. If you find you're only like 8 or 9 guys, well, then just flip it and go play in the three max $20 and just keep a really tight core with those 8 or 9 guys, and you're still playing the same $60, but you're just playing in a contest that gives you a way better chance of actually winning, okay? There you go. That is the breakdown. Yes, I am tracking all of these. You know, if I'm going to sit here and shit on the lotteries all the time for you people that play in them, you know I'm going to do it. Here's last week. You can see on a week-to-week basis, anybody can win it, right? But we're wanting to really focus over here on the cumulative total. We've now been collecting this data for 6 weeks. And the main $20 or $25 that we see every week, every single group, 1 entry, 2 through 5, 6 through 20, 21 through 50, 51 through 49, are all losers. Every one of those groups is losing, and some of them are losing pretty substantially, right? Like negative 46% ROI, not good, Bob. Not good. Okay, we call that 1929 around here. The only group that is barely up is the 150 maxers, and you can see they're only up 3%. But even within that, you're like, oh, so the 150 maxers always win. No. If you go look at it, 90% of the time they lose. Only 10% of the time they win, but when they win so much, it can offset all of those losses. And that is really the only way to play these lotteries, is you have to go into them knowing that it is going to be a week in, week out, kick in the nuts, and you're just playing for a big one. And if that doesn't sound fun, well, then you should stay the hell out of these. And it's pretty remarkable how in the $5, it's the exact same thing, except the ROI is actually negative across every group, right? Even the 150 maxers are overall down so far in the big $5 so far this year, right? Only 3%, but last time I checked, negative 3% is still negative. Is that? Yep, that's right. Good job. Good job, guy in the back. He just shouted it from the back. Y'all hear him? And for the Sunday showdown, the big $20, big surprise. Every single group is down except the 150 maxers, right? And part of that is it's early in the season, so they've had more chances to win them. But overall, the ROI on most of these is going to be negative, because when you play in the lottery, if you win the lottery twice in your lifetime, you have a shamrock shoved all the way up your ass, okay? I'm just trying to get you guys to understand the math of these lotteries and really trying to push it a more sustainable contest, right? Like my $10 18 max, my baby that I got created, is such a more sustainable contest. Are you going to pay off your house if you win first place in this? I mean, not unless you have a really cheap house, but you could also not have to be a deposit king if you play in this every week, right? If you're playing $180 every week, this would be the best $180 you could put in there if you're a GPP bro like I am, okay? But of course, the one contest you should definitely play, and just choked on my own spit, you love to see that early in the stream, is mine. Go get in there, the Showdown Hoedown Listener League. Editor, put it right here in the chat. It's only like halfway full, and it's like Wednesday night. Low-key a little nervous. I'm low-key a little nervous, and you don't want to know what happens when Loki gets angry. I think that's a superhero movie reference. I don't watch that stupid shit. So there you go. Go get in it. It's a $5 five max. You can put 5 lineups in it now. And it's a flat payout structure and reduced rake. It is quickly emerging to be the best contest on DraftKings. We're not there yet, but we're working on it, buddy. All right, a quick shout out to last week's winner, Hungy, flying the flag. You love to see it. And David, two flag flyers right up top. You love to see it, Bob. You love to see it. Congratulations to you guys. Let's move on to the next segment. New guy, chance at redemption. Here you go. You're up. What's the first thing we always check at PGA DFS? No, it is not ownership. What a donkey. It's weather. And just so you know, the big guy, not a poor, can't afford the $18.99 a year to give you the fanciest projections on all of the land, all right? And you're going to be a little disappointed. The weather this week looks pretty great. It looks pretty great. You want to know how it looks? Good. That's how it looks. It looks real good. Plus, there's been some rain in the area, so this course will probably be a hair softer than normal. But I do think with the sun being out, it getting up into the mid-60s, you will see this course start to bake out a little bit over the weekend, okay? They want this course to play firm and fast because they want it hard. They don't want a minus 20 winner, right? So they're going to do what they can to make this to make this tournament tough, right? So with that in mind, here's the big takeaway. Of course, we're looking at roar projections. And you can see right here, it looks great tomorrow, right? Do I want my guys going out at 7 a.m. at 46 degrees? Probably not. But like by 9:30, it's pretty much going to be nutted conditions all day. I bet by the end of the day, the POA is going to be getting a little bumpier. That is what POA be doing this time of year. Is in the late afternoon, POA gets roo-roo bumpy. That's what it's notorious for, right? Once again, I don't jerk off the grass, but I also don't shame people for their kinks. Okay, Minds Ownership and Projections. Respect all kinks around here. That's what we do. But POA is not great to putt on. And these greens, whatever firmness, whatever crustiness they're going to get, we will certainly see in the afternoon of a full afternoon of these guys walking on these greens, the sun growing that POA and baking out those greens, right? But at most, we're going to see 9-mile-an-hour winds tomorrow, right? You go over and you look at Friday, because remember, this is a cut event. Yes, there's going to be like 5 or 10 guys that probably missed the cut, but a cut event nevertheless, right? And here's what I can tell you about this. It looks a little, well, I said that earlier. It looked warmer earlier. I think it's going to be a hair warmer, but Nom's like, nah, fuck you. It looks like it's going to stay cold a little bit longer Friday morning. So if I had to say anything, I really don't want my guys going out Friday morning because they could end up playing their entire front nine in not great scoring conditions. So I would say, like, you know, if you're trying to squeeze the littlest edge, I think that you probably want to get some guys trying to go out after 10 a.m. on Friday. I think those are going to be pretty nutted conditions. As you can see, not a breath of wind. This course is not gettable, but as good as bull, it's going to be as gettable as it'll ever be. What I'm really taking away from this weather is this. There's no weather edge this week. There's not a true AM PM anyways, right? It's like kind of like you play early morning or late morning one day, and then you play the opposite the other day. That's basically what it is. There's only a 5-hour window in which all these guys go out. So here would be my advice to you. If I'm looking at this weather and you're wanting to see a big weather edge this week and you've got this guy at these perfect times, first of all, I think at best if you pick the nutted time zone to get them off in, maybe you could squeeze out a half a stroke, and that's assuming they're playing well. How I will be using this information is this. I am going to be rolling more of my bankroll over into Showdown because I don't really know how tomorrow's going to play, but come round two, round three, and round four Showdown, this weather, we will know how it impacts the course. We will know what these greens do in the afternoon, and we will have this information. Not to mention, we will have data from all of the golfers on who's ball striking, who's luck sacking with their putter, and you can really find an edge at round two, round three, and round four Showdown with actual data instead of all this projecting nonsense we're doing right now. So that's what I'm going to do with the weather. Right? I probably, there's not a single guy where I'm going to be like, well, can't play him because them tea times. I'm not going to say that, right? But what I am going to do is I'm probably going to really focus more on Showdown than week long, but I know we're here to talk week long. I am still playing plenty. That I promise you, Bob. So that is the weather. By the way, the weekend also looks lovely. If you want to know what the weekend looks like, nice. Nice. And for all of you like, man, you spend so much time talking about the weather. None of that shit matters. Okay, first of all, quit talking like that. Second of all, know this. Yes, it does. Last week, there was a huge wave edge. I told you that there was probably going to be a wave edge one way or the other. AM PM was in position to get it, but with the big delay, it ended up being a big edge for the PM AM. This is another reason I always tell you to consider making two player pools, right? The only time we ever get correlation in PGA DFS is what time our guys go out, right? So if you would have just played all PM AM guys, you would have been in such an incredible spot last week to find success, right? Furthermore, when there's a wave edge, 82% of the time, the winner comes from the good wave. Making the cut, how about almost twice as likely to make the cut last week if you were PMAM, right? Across the board, it was night and day. Now, do we always get a 3-stroke difference? No, we don't. But this just shows the importance to not just being married to your picks and maybe having two completely different player pools, right? Having just a PMAM one and just an AMPM. So when there is a delay for flash floods there in Phoenix, the big guy can mush the weather, then this is something you can do, right? By the way, I see 444 people in here, 226 likes. That would be 218 dickies. 218 dickies. High for a Wednesday night. High for a Wednesday night, okay? We're moving on. Hey, every week we're tracking pivots, right? To me, the lost art of PGA DFS is knowing when to pivot and when not to pivot. Some people say, nope, you always got to play the chalk. The chalk always gets there. Bro, this is fucking PGA. The chalk does not always get there. I can assure you of that, okay? And then some people say, nope, you can never play chalk no matter what. Well, that's also not the answer because they're usually chalk because they're playing well. They're a course that fits well, and they're good golfers, right? That's kind of the holy trinity of chalk, right? So here are some guys that we tracked last week. Scottie Scheffler literally outperformed all six of the pivots. The man is a god in 47 different religions. Don't you forget it. Benny Ann, how did old 17% old Benny Ann treat you donkey dicks last week? The one guy I'm not playing, by the way, was outperformed by the pivots around him 75%. So six of the eight outproduced him. Dumpy Bo ended up getting pretty popular last week, but he did slightly outperform his pivots. Now, the question is, did he outperform them enough to justify paying almost a 2-to-1 ownership? No, he did not. And lastly, EVR, the grossest of the grossest chalk, you donkeys ate. 13% EVR because somebody said his name on a podcast. You guys are dipshits. Yeah, you could have played the pivots around him whose average ownership was 4.5%. Every single one of them outperformed EVR last week. Every single one of them. As we say, what do I always tell you? The worst kind of chalk is the 6 and the 7K chalk. We're getting some real data in now to prove this, right? That the time to not eat chalk is in the lower range, right? Up top, eating chalk is kind of paying off, right? The 10K chalk this year is literally outperforming the others by over a 2-to-1 margin, which justifies that ownership difference, right? In the 9Ks and the 8Ks, it's pretty close. But up top, it has been eat the chalk so far this year. You got to remember, we only have 6 weeks of data in. But the art of learning the pivot is the when to do it and when not to do it is how to play this game, right? All right, let's get to it. Our highest owned guys this week. This is the 8 highest owned guys with two very, very questionable honorable mentions down there, okay? Look, new guy, you need to know this. We're going to break these guys into three types of chalk. We got donkey chalk, which means if you play him, you're a huge donkey dick. I'm kidding, okay? You can always play donkey chalk. You just need to be aware of what it does to the rest of your lineup. Then we got chalk. It's a little too high, but if you love him, stick with him. And then there's okay chalk. Guys, I don't even really consider chalk, but if you want to use that term, what the fuck ever, okay? So let's get going. First up, we've got old Scotty Scheffner. I got him projected as the highest owned guy 2 weeks in a row. Surprising that the guy who's the best player in the world would be the highest owned. Shocking. And Scotty Scheffler at 11,500. Honestly, anything under 30% almost seems like a good value on Scotty. But I am a man of incredible discipline, and he is way higher than everybody else in the 10K. He is 50% higher, or sometimes twice as high as the guys around him. I'm left with no choice. You know I love you, Scotty, right? You know I get down on my knees and pray to you every night. But I gotta say, without question, you, sir, are
the man's donkey chalk, and we don't play donkey chalk.
Do that, except when it's Scotty. We give it a real long thought. We give it a real long thought when it's Scotty. All right, Justin Thomas is next up. I have him as the second highest owned guy at 25.8%. Justin Thomas checks the Holy Trinity. He has good course history. He is playing well, and he's underpriced. That we call it the Holy Trinity of donkey chalk. So with that, it is no surprise that Justin Thomas is going to get owned tomorrow, and it's not going to surprise me in the slightest if we see him the highest owned guy 2 weeks in a row, because even last week at like the 38% surprise chalk he was, he still kind of did good. I think he still got like T12. It's not like he dicked over your lineups. So with that, JT, you know I love you, brother. I'm back on the train, but you, sir, are
the man's donkey chalk, and we don't play donkey chalk.
Do that, except when it's JT. Then we give it some consideration. Then we think what... That's right, guy in the back. We think about it. Good job, guy in the back. Ever since I've started feeding him 3 times a week, he's a new man. He is a new man. All right, moving on. Colin Morikawa, a delicate little bitch flower, coming in at 9,500. This course, I don't actually feel like is a great fit. You'll see on the model, my model, which is life, doesn't really love him. But I can tell you what does love him, his course history, right? When conditions are good at difficult courses, I like Colin Morikawa, right? And so I think this is mainly, I'll be honest with you, I just don't like the guy. So I'm probably he should probably be air chalk, but this is just the big guy's personal bias creeping in. Colin Morikawa, anytime you're over 20% from now till eternity, you, sir, are
the man's donkey chalk, and we don't play donkey chalk.
Especially when they're little delicate flower bitches named Morikawa. All right, especially that. He's going to win. Watch. He's going to win. Watch it. All right, moving on. Adam Scott, 8,200. When you see a guy at 8,200 who is 20% owned, do I even need to tell you the logic on this one? Or how about the fact that there's 3 golfers directly below him who are definitively better golfers than him, and you're going to play a 20% owned Adam Scott? God bless your souls. God bless your souls. You're doing the Lord's work out there. Adam Scott, you are the literal disgusting definition of
the man's donkey chalk, and we don't play donkey chalk.
Especially when they're old. Especially when they're old enough to be the father of the guys right below them who are better golfers. There is that. Sam Burns. Look, Sam Burns playing good golf. You want to know the truth? I'm scared to death to fade Sam Burns this week. The guy is playing so good. And you know what? Sam Burns can win a birdie fest, and Sam Burns can win a grind fest, right? And I think that you're going to see somewhere in the middle. I'm predicting the winning score to be like minus 14 this week. I think it's going to be a little easier than normal. But still no birdie fest by any means, right? Sam Burns has kind of got the complete game, right? I just like Sam Burns. I like when he's playing well. But, man, when you're in the 8Ks and you're 20%, you're leaving me no choice, Sammy. You're doing this to me. I have no choice. I love you, and I'm still probably going to play you, but I got to be a man of incredible consistency. You, sir, are
the man's donkey chalk, and we don't play donkey chalk.
Donkey chalk. Jesus, guys. I get a lot of crap from these people in the room. All right, moving on. Old Neckbeard, Patrick Cantlay himself, and Iceberg, and Xander. We're just going to lump all these guys together. I think that just based on who they're around, you can't really call them donkey chalk. A lot of their ownership is just predicated around the fact that they are higher valued. And what's rule number one of PGA DFS? People spend their money, right? So if people are going to spend their money, well, these guys are going to naturally get some ownership. But the real question is it out-of-line ownership? And I don't think it's out-of-line to the point that we call it donkey chalk. So we are instead just going to call all three of these guys. Yeah, I don't love it. It's a little high, but if you have convictions on these guys, I think you play them, right? Now we get to the honorable mention, and anytime you see honorable mentions, there should be red flags going up everywhere. 500 people in here. You love to see it. 292 likes. You don't love to see that. It should be more like 392. Dumpy Bow, Luke List. All right, what have I told you about these guys down in the low 7Ks, into the 6Ks, who are you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 times higher owned than everybody else around them? I love Dumpy Bow, right? Dumpy Bow made a putt for a birdie at the tournament. I said, that's my Dumpy Bow. And he looked at me and he winked. It was a magical moment me and Dumpy had, okay? And Luke List, I mean, there's just a narrative. You got to hit the ball far this week. That's the only way you could be successful at Genesis. Okay, well, that's not true, but that can be your narrative, right? And yes, I will grant you, Luke List does hit the ball far, okay? Problem is, he doesn't usually get it in the hole in the number of strokes to be constituted as a par. That's his problem, right? So I think you know where both of these guys are going. When you start to be noticeably higher owned, double digits, in the low 7Ks and into the 6Ks, you're leaving me no choice, fellas. Both of you. Even after we had our magical moment, Bo, I have to be consistent. You guys are.
The man's Donkey Chalk, and we don't play Donkey Chalk.
6 and 7K Donkey Chalk, we have already established that is the worst kind. That is the worst kind. There you go. That is the breakdown of ownership of the top 10 most owned. Of course, I do all my own ownership, and no one is a sweaty or try hard. If you want to see it all, it is over at Ship It. All right, but here's the thing. Here's what I've learned. There's going to be a lot of people. I mean, there's over 500 people watching this show right now. There'll probably be a couple more thousand that'll watch it later, and that's a lot of people who are going to see this ownership, and some of you are going to be like, well, fuck that guy, right? I'm not playing him. And so it's natural that this is a moving target we're trying to hit. So what I'm going to do next is I'm going to try to predict for you who I think we will see have surprising high ownership tomorrow, and guys we will see have surprising low ownership tomorrow. Lower than we expect, I should say, right? And we are going to call this Steam versus Moonwalk. Guys that I think are going to get steamed up tonight versus guys that I think are going to moonwalk backwards. So let's get going. The first one up is Justin Thomas, right? I did have him higher than everybody else in the industry as far as ownership goes, and I still wasn't even close, right? I had him at like 28%. I thought I was being so bold, and in some contests, he came in higher owned than Scheffler. Furthermore, he finished T12, and he still played really well. He just couldn't make a putt. Now he's back on a course where he is underpriced, and he has good course history, and he's in good form. I just know this community, and everybody is going to make this guy the second or third guy in their lineup. Justin Thomas, I have a very, very sneaky suspicion, is going to be the highest owned guy tomorrow, and if he is over 30%, I will not be shocked. This is a pretty bold call, knowing what I know about ownership, to make a call this far above expectations. But I'm just telling you, this guy right here, Justin Thomas, you are definitely getting steamed up tonight. All right. For all of you that think you're getting Justin, oh shit, I'm going to get Justin Thomas at 20%. I'm going to play so much. No, you're not. You're not going to get him at 20%, pal. Moving on. Next up, old Dumpy Bow. Here's the facts, right? Dumpy Bow, we already call him Donkey Chalk, right? How could you be Donkey Chalk and still get steamed up? Because it's Dumpy Bow. And for whatever reason, people in this community, I don't know if everybody's jerking off to the same models or what, but Dumpy Bow gets more ownership than any person I know. Not to mention, he's noticeably cheaper than where he has been the past several weeks, even when he was getting ownership. And I don't want to hear shit about, like, it's a stronger field. It's also a smaller field, so shut your mouth. Dumpy Bow at $7,000 is going to be everybody's Care Bear blanket, right? Oh, my last guy in can be Dumpy Bow. I feel so safe, right? Right? By the way, a Dumpy Care Bear blanket, similarities are there. So with that in mind, people are going to want Dumpy Bow to be the last guy in their lineups, right? And furthermore, within that, people are not trying to go stars and scrubs this week. They're really trying not to go down into the 6Ks looking at ownership. And with that, I think Dumpy Bow is going to be the sixth guy in a ton of lineups. So he is going to get steamed up tonight. Next up, you've got old Sam Ryder, $6,000. When I did my initial sleepers this morning, I was like, I can't put Sam Ryder on there. He'll be too popular. But looking at the early projections and ownership, I don't think he's going to be that crazy. But here's what I know. I've built some lineups, you know, just dicking around, kind of getting a feel for where the pricing is. It helps you kind of understand where ownership's going to go. And here's what I know. If you want to play Scottie Scheffler, you're going to probably have to get down in the 6Ks unless you want to have some really weird build, okay? And when you go down into the 6Ks, you're going to kind of be like, well, that guy sucks. Well, that guy sucks. Well, that guy sucks. That guy definitely fucking sucks. And you're going to keep saying that. At some point, you're going to arise at the fact that all these guys in the 6Ks you're not in love with. And then you're going to find that Sam Ryder actually looks pretty good in the model and actually has pretty solid course history here, right? You factor those two things in with the fact that he is the stone cold minimum $6,000. I am telling you, we are going to look up tomorrow. Sam Ryder is going to be noticeably higher owned than all those guys down at the bottom. I refuse to believe that you're going to get Sam Ryder at 3%. As much as I want to believe that, it ain't going to happen, pal. So Sam Ryder, tomorrow you are getting steamed up. But if there's guys steaming up in ownership, there's got to be guys moving backwards. So let's talk about some guys that I think are going to moonwalk. First up, Rory McIlroy. Not that I have him very high, right? I think I have him around 13 or 14%. Can't recall off the top of my head. Here's what I can tell about Rory. The man is getting squeezed, right? He is right by Scotty. Who in God's green earth is going to play Rory over God mode Scheffler right now? Nobody. Second of all, why not just take the huge price discount and go down to Xander and Victor Hovland, right? And so he's just in this weird zone where he's priced up too high, and the only guy he's priced around is noticeably better than him. I just don't think you're going to see very many people click on Rory. I think he's going to come in damn near around 10%. I think you will see him moonwalk tonight. Who else? Next up, Victor Hovland. Once again, a guy that is right there by Xander. But then the bigger problem with Victor is right below him, you get that best buy pricing, right? You get all the guys at 9,900, 9,800. You get Mora Flower. You get all those guys right there in that range below him. And people are like, you know, Victor really hasn't been playing that well. Why don't I just take the big savings? It's going to feel like big savings to go from 10,000 to 9,700 because it's the best buy pricing, right? That five figures that he has for 10,000, it has a psychological effect on people. People are going to pay down. I think you're going to see Victor under 15%. So I'm going to say that he is going to moonwalk backwards. And lastly, who's the last guy I think is going to moonwalk? JT Poston I have surprisingly high. But I know one thing. Narratives in this industry reign supreme. And all I've heard all week is, you know, you got to be able to bomb it here, right? And let me just tell you, JT Poston does not bomb it, right? That is not his game. JT Poston is a crafty wedge player. He is a killer putter, and he has pretty good around the green chops. He is not a bomb and gouge guy, okay? By any stretch of the imagination. I think JT Poston's fine here. I think he is a guy that could play. But I also know that narratives are going to get people off of him. Why would you go play JT Poston at 7,800 when there's literally four or five bombers right around him? People are naturally going to be like, I can't do JT, and thus he will drop a little bit. So I think you are going to see JT Poston moonwalk. There you go. That was a quick breakdown. Look, if I'm going to be the guy that doesn't give you picks and plays, I ought to be the guy that at least gives you a tip, right? Just the tip around here. And here's what I can tell you. The tip this week is tough, all right? Because there's not a bunch of edge. There's not too many guys. We don't have that 45% owned guy that you could just fade at week long, right? We don't have that. We don't really have a clear weather edge, you know? So it's like, well, then where the hell do you find an edge? So this week's DFS tip is, how do you find an edge on a week where there doesn't appear to be an edge, right? And I've already hinted earlier that I think this is a good week to maybe slow down your week long play a little bit, as this is basically a no-cut event, right? Like 5, maybe 10 guys are going to miss the cut with these stupid cut rules. If you don't know, it's T50 and ties, and there's only 70 guys in it. That alone could get 58 or 60 guys in, and then they have the 10-stroke rule on top of that, meaning that even if you are outside of the T50 and ties, if as long as you're within 10 strokes of the leader, you still get to make the cut. So there is, in theory, a way every single player could make the cut this week. So then what the hell is the edge? Well, I've already told you, maybe consider playing a little more showdown than week long. I think that's the first one. But I think the second one is you need to condense. On weeks like this where there doesn't appear to be an edge, the biggest way you can get an edge, the most quantifiable way you can get an edge is to have leverage. Over-concentrate. Really keep your pool tight. Marry yourself. If you're going to have a pool of 20 guys, be married to 6 of those motherfathers. I'm talking 50, 60% of your lineups built around those guys, right? Be committed to them, okay? Especially if one or two of them are lower-owned guys, and then you have that guy who finishes T3rd, right? Who the hell ever it is that you get at 3% ownership who finishes third place, and you have them at 20, 30, 40, 50 lineups, however many you're doing, that is how you can do it. I really encourage you this week, really trim down that player pool. Really keep it tweet like a tiger. And more than anything, be really overweight on players, right? Be overweight. Don't play a guy in 10% of your lineups, but that slap dick you're going to put in 10% of your lineups, go put him in 25% this week. That stud that you had him 40% of your lineups, go put him in 75% of your lineups. And that's when you do that, when you start bumping everybody's minimum exposure up, that's naturally going to condense your player pool. And I think on a week like this where the edge isn't clear, the best thing you can do is make some strategic pivots and keep that player pool tweet like a twiga. All right, that is your DFS tip for the week. I hope that helps you because there is not a big edge this week. If you don't know, the big guy's really into the model is life around here, and we treat it as such. Some things I looked at this week. Driving distance. Do you have to be good at driving distance to find success here? No, but it sure as shit doesn't hurt. Around the greens. These guys are going to be scrambling this week. I need guys who are good at around the greens and average in difficult conditions. The medium to long iron range from 150 to 200 gave a lot of weight to. Poa putting. Putting from 5 to 10 feet on Poa, right? You're going to be like, oh, thank God my guy has a 5 foot, 6 inch putt for par. He's going to save par. No, he's not. No, he's not. No, he's not. No, he's not. Who's been good over the last 24 rounds? Who's good at 450 to 500 par four scoring? And who is good at just relative to scoring par? Actually, I asked this one out. Get the fuck out of here. And who's good at average and difficult scoring conditions? Because I don't think this course is going to be a bear this week, but it sure as shit ain't going to be a birdie fest. And looking at the model, Rory McIlroy is number one in the model. If you're a model truther, you have got to be all in on Rory. Dims the ruse. Dims the ruse. All right, no surprise that three of the top four guys in the model are 1, 2, 3 up here. And here's what I can tell you, right? Up top, Xander, Scheffler are going to get the ownership. Rory, Hovland, Homa are going to get under-owned. People are going to drop down and play Kawa. They're going to play Cantlay. They're going to play Iceberg. They're sure as shit going to play JT, right? So it's this mid-9K, mid to low 9Ks is where it's going to be. So if you're one to get different up top, and you like Rory, you like Hovland, or you like Homa, then I think that you have some real chance to get some leverage, right? And I'm telling you, don't just put those guys in one of your lineups. Get married to their ass. Go 50, 60, 70% and really keep that player pool condensed and make your stands this week. That's really the only way you have a chance, and then hope some of the chalk blows up. From there, you get down this, and then, I think Spieth, Finau, Fleetwood are three guys that are really getting squeezed. They're getting squeezed from the top, from these chalk donkeys, and then right below them, you've got Sam Burns. So I think you're going to see Spieth, Finau, and Fleetwood be some really good pivot options right here, right? You can see the model loves Fleetwood. I mean, Fleetwood might be single-digit ownership, right? And if the course is a long, tough course, those are literally, if Tommy Fleetwood's ever going to win on the freaking PGA Tour, it would be at a course like the Genesis, right? Look, if you want to fade Sam Burns, you go ahead. But I'm telling you, Sam Burns, the good news about fading Sam Burns is he does have a very big, wide spread of options, right? Like, he is not a consistent player. But, man, his top end is so, so, so good. So hit the gala, man. I mean, the guy's playing. I do worry about him being a little fatigued, but, man, he is playing so good. Cam Young and Fitz, Wyndham Clark are three guys that are all right there that I think are all probably, if you look at the model, I think that they deserve more respect than their ownership is getting. And the reason they're getting squeezed is they're right here between Adam Scott and Sam Burns. Who in their right mind is going to go click on Matthew Fitzpatrick when you could pay up a couple hundred for Sam Burns or pay down and get Adam Scott? No one's going to do that. So that makes guys like Wyndham Clark, Fitz, and Cam Young very good pivot options. And then, to me, you get to the three best pivots on the slate. Tom Kim, Jason Day, and Sung J M, all guys who are legitimate, like, badasses, and, like, are all going to be legit, like, I'm not kidding, 7% owned. 7% owned, right? So you're going to go play Adam Scott, and I'll make you a deal. I'll give you Adam Scott. You give me either Day, M, or Tom Kim. You can choose which one. You give me 3-1. I'll bet any amount of money you want. Deal? Send it my DMs. I'll do it. We're going to put the money in escrow. I don't trust your shady asses. From there, Hogard is surprisingly getting some attention. I know the guy can bomb it, but man, are we really ready to get married to Hogard? And then this upper 7K range is just the great forgotten about range. Cole, Henley, Ann, Kim, McCarthy, Kirk. No one's playing these guys. Fowler, Harmon, Connor, Taylor. No one's playing these guys. Outside of Hideki, who is just mispriced, I don't think any of these guys are going to be double-digit ownership. And you got to remember, this is a field of only 70 guys, so we should assume that everybody is going to be damn near double digits just for being in the field, right? Down here in the low 7Ks, we do start to see some chalk. Cam Davis is going to get some ownership. Ropat, Harris English, old Dumpy Bo, Kurt Kitayama. This is where a lot of people want to stop building their lineups. This is why I really encourage you to go a little bit lower, right? Go look at Patrick Rogers. Go look at Bez. Go look at Putnam. Go look at Lucas Glover, Taylor Moore, guys like that, right? These guys are going to be interesting because everybody down here, the one people that do skip down into the 6,000s are going to be playing Kurt Kitayama and Luke List. So if you can find some other guys, Kevin Yu, Alex Smalley, whoever it is, right? My guy, you know it's Mackenzie Hughes. You want to talk about a tough contest? The big guy's always in on Mackenzie Hughes. Oh, but he doesn't look that good in the model. I don't give a shit. You can't quantify his magic, you mother father. So there you go. We'll go with Mackenzie Hughes as my sleeper this week. And more than anything, it's about how you're going to construct your lineups, right? Most people are going to construct their lineups this week, probably starting with Scheffler and then jumping down. I think Justin Thomas is just going to naturally be a second person in. And I think without breaking a sweat, you can very easily then go to Burns or Adam Scott. And then from there, you're going to see them come down here, grab their dumpy bow, grab their Kurt Kitayama, and they're still probably going to have enough to get back up to Hideki Matsuyama. That is just a terrible build. That is just Chalk at every single position. And I am not telling you to fade Chalk. I'm telling you that when you play Donkey Chalk, be aware of what it does to the rest of your lineup. If you're going to play two Donkey Chalk guys in a lineup, the rest of that lineup should probably consist of at least 1 to 2 pivots and at least 1 to 2 sleepers in it. They're going to be lower owned, so your lineup still has some leverage. Does that make sense? What you don't want to be doing is stacking 4, 5, 6 really chalky guys together, because you're going to end up being in 1v1s and 2v2s versus hundreds, if not thousands of people, and that is not how you win GPPs, my brother. So the key, as always, is try to find your high leverage guys, get married to them, really commit to them, because you're not going to find some big ownership leverage point this week. You're not going to find some big weather edge. You're going to have to do it with the way you construct your player pool. That was my pro tip for you this week. That is how I'm going to be constructing it, because the edge at week long, let's face it, like week long involves a lot more luck on weeks where there's no edge. That is a fact, all right? That they don't call it kicking the nuts for nothing, all right? I see Andy over here asking what's wrong with Richard Flower. I don't know. Guy ain't good right now. It's like, I thought he was unbroken, and now he like looks like he's broken worse than ever. All right, this brings me to everyone's favorite segment, the one. By the way, I'm not doing what I did last week. I'm still out of breath just thinking about that damn show. The one guy I am definitely not playing this week. Well, I got some shit from some people, probably rightly so, that I, you know, like last week I went Benny Ann. They're like, oh, choosing shitty players and fade them. Hey, how did your 18% on Benny Ann T68 treat you, dickies? So here's what I can tell you. I don't know that I'm always going to do this, but I am going to go bold this week. The guy I'm fading is, he's a good player. He's a guy who is a great course fit. My model doesn't say so, but I can tell you what, his stats or his performances here would seem to support this. But at the end of the day, this is a guy that when he doesn't have perfect conditions, I don't think he can get it done. And even though these conditions look ideal, I'm just going to assume this little delicate pitch is going to just be a little off at something. And more than anything, I just don't want to play him at over 20%. This guy, there ain't a chance in hell I am playing Colin Mora Flower. Politello! Get the fuck out of here, Mora Flower. All right, but the more important question is this. Who is the one guy I am playing? Well, once again, I think I'm going to have to take you on another journey. I hope you're ready to know. No, not back to the Game of Thrones world. Oh, no, we're going on a different journey this week, you mother father. The one guy we're playing this week, well, I think we need to take a trip. I think we need to go to the land called Genesis Park, full of wild beasts, led by a tiger of all people. We're going to go see if we can find the one guy we're playing, a beautiful, majestic animal that has been around but we haven't seen in a while. Someone that I need to know is back, that I have been pussyfooting playing. But you also got to remember, there's a lot of shitty players in this field too, right?
That is one big pile of shit.
That is a big pile of shit. Undeniable, that's a big pile of shit. But that's not what we're here for. One more shot at Morikawa. I'm sorry, Morikawa. The more important question is, who is the one guy we're playing? And I saw him from a distance. I could see it coming. He is perfectly designed for this course. This course is built for him. And yes, he has been out with injury for a long time. And yes, I'm not sure he's back. But he is a beautiful, majestic beast. Look at that long neck. Oh my God. It's Will Baronosaurus. Beautiful. He is so beautiful. I mean, look, even tigers have. We're all happy that Will Baronosaurus is back. Not to mention, if he hits a ball up in the trees, all he has to do is reach up there with his neck and grab it. Don't underestimate that is a huge advantage. Love that song. Love that song. We're going to make a fortune this week. That's right. Back from 65 million years ago, I'm going back to him. I said I'd be late to the party. I fucking lied. I'm going back to him. Him and his long neck. The one guy I'm playing this week without a second of hesitation. The man, the myth, the legend. We're playing Will Baronosaurus! Man, I love that music. Da 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 da. Okay. Sorry, Will. You. It's a good picture. If that doesn't make you laugh, I got nothing for you, okay? All right. Before I get to selling, let me just tell you, another incredible week over on the Discord. Had 1 million people win. Shocking that so many people flying the flag win. I appreciate every single one of you mother fathers. And just a quick review. This is just from the first 5 weeks. We've had a couple winners so far these first 5 weeks of the season. I told them to make me one, and they literally couldn't fit it all on there. So it ended up going a little bit over. What are you going to do? If you guys haven't heard, the big guy is now with Ship It. And yes, we are in one place, and we are here to give you the best product. You love this stream. You love the Rosetta Stone. You love Sleepers While I'm Sleepy. It is all over there. Everything is there now. And here's the best part. Here's the best part. You can get all of it. Plus, you can get what they already offer. And oh, yeah, all of the sports, NFL, NBA, PGA, MMA, NHL, MLB, NASCAR, and college football are all there. And you can get it all. Just go over there and use. Oh, by the way, don't forget about my Rosetta Stone. Yes, it is over there. All right, just go use my code DGEN15. It will get you 15% off any package. I promise you, you will not regret it. I would encourage you to use it on the annual, and it makes the annual. The normal annual, if you go over here and look, it is $5.99, right? You go right here to join the nation. You go look at the annual, $5.99. Use that code, drops it down to $5.09. Not $5.09 for golf. $5.09 for everything for the entire year. That's what other places charge, right? Not to mention you get my ownership and projections, and I fucking triple dare every single one of you. Go take my ownership, go take my projections, and compare it to whoever you think is the best in the industry, and just let me know how it goes for you, okay? Because I was tracking all this stuff last year and putting it out on Twitter, and man, did some people get fucking butthurt. So, look, you don't have to pay these exorbitant prices to get great ownership, get great projections. And if you're trying to build a process and you are doing it on a faulty base, on a faulty foundation, you are never going to be able to get there. You have to build your process built on accurate ownership, accurate projections, and people that are a sweaty fucking tryhard like I am. I will not let you down. You need to come try it out. Use this code DGEN15. You will not regret it. If you want to just get the monthly, do that. If you want to get the weekly, do that. But I'm telling you, the best bang for your buck is to get all the sports. Even if you just want to dabble in NASCAR, dabble in MMA. We got a whole team. I met them all. Look, this is me and the crew. Okay, we roll deep, all right? We will take care of you. That I promise you, mother father. And if you're an old and you're like, I can't keep up with all these changes, DGEN, what the hell is going on? Here's all you got to do. You simply reach out to support DGEN75 on Twitter or support at DGEN75.com. We are going to make this seamless for all of you. Editor, let's get to the drawing. First up, Editor, I need four names over here. I need three for a free month. The first three names he draws, I am going to give a free month on Ship It. Free month on the big guy. And then also, we're going to draw for the fuck counter, okay? Because I need to play somebody for all the money in the till. Probably need to do the Lucy multiplier, okay? There you go. David Woods won. Oh, by the way, here's for the 555. For all of you that want these 555 tickets, all you have to do is like and retweet over on Twitter, all right? Here it is, a 555 ticket that you will build with me, and I will split the profits with you 50-50. The winner is... Oh, no! Fuck him! Fuck him! No, that's my buddy Billy. He's literally in that picture. That's Billy right there. No, he's famous. No, fuck him. Sorry, Billy, you're rich. He's a good guy, though. Really is a good guy. I love Billy. But no way I'm letting him win my contest. Not a chance. But I do appreciate you retweeting, Billy. But no, he doesn't win. This is for the people. All right, T-Swin! He does count. There you go. T-Swin wins. Our winners are David Woods, Ryan Fedor, Flux Silent Shot. That guy wins a fucking lot, does he not? And Sean and Monica, me and you are going to play heads up for the money in the till. Shoot me a invite, a $0 free 1v1 over on DraftKings. Modest75 is my name, and we will play. In the meantime, let's get to some questions. The big guy's already gassed. Let me reload with some Italian sparkling mineral water. Big guy's a health nut. Big guy's a health nut. You love to see it. Man, Billy, you're right. Billy, I'll tell you what. We'll do a $100 single entry on me, but that's because you're my friend, not because you won. I'm doing that because I love you, big guy. And you're here. Billy's a good friend. By the way, I see 199 people in here who are currently watching and have not hit the like. What's wrong with you, dude? What is wrong with you? I want you to go look in the mirror tonight and say, who am I and what have I become? All right. Well, I know there's like 20 of you that hate watch me, so I hope you're enjoying me having the number one stream again. You loser pieces of shit. Okay. Moving on. We're answering questions. Is Tiger making the cut? Yes, everybody's going to make the cut. Decky going to withdraw since he's so cheap? I hope he's 20% he withdraws. That would be funny, my friend. That'd be funny. A bit real funny. Wait, I can't scroll, editor. What is going on? Oh, there we go. How many points does a 6K golfer need? Yeah, you can't do that. I can't say X amount of points is going to justify him, right? What the real answer is this. You need him to do better than everybody else around him, right? He needs to outperform these other guys down here around like probably 6,200 and below. If he does that, then that's where you really start to get it. How hot is Hoffman after this past weekend? Yeah, I'm not buying that. You go play all the Chuck Hoffman you want. I don't like old guys past their prime. How many guys do you think actually when we'll get to the cut? Man, editor, I fucking hate YouTube, dude. It keeps locking up on me. How many golfers do you think actually get the cut? If I had to guess, I would say 60 of the 70 make the cut. How you feeling about the Leprechaun? I'm always out on the Leprechaun, but he is playing better. So, Devin, I will tell you, I am playing with fire, fading him, right? No weather delays this week. Unless there's some weird frost, I can't imagine any way there is. How do you get the most use out of variance on Solver? Well, it's this, Carm. I like to rely more on my player pool than just simply projection. So I usually set variance around 20 or 25. So it is factoring in those projections, but it's also taking into account how much exposure to all the players I want. I'm excited for your brother joining Ship It. Let's go. Let's do it, Jarvis. I'm there. I'm the big guy's head. Are we going to get Decky low owned this week? I have him as the highest guy in that mid-7Ks, but I have him in not even the teens. I think around 11 or 12%. So I don't think it's a deal breaker if you like Decky. And a field so small, how much is ownership a good max to use? I think don't worry about total cumulative ownership. Look at your product ownership. And really, if you just get two guys at under 5% in your lineup's going to be vastly different than the rest of the field. Is it viable to take stands in the 8Ks and 7Ks and a mini-max? Yes, definitely. I think that's a good way to do it. It's really just make your stands there, especially if they're contrarian. Does Riviera have a high sticky course history? Yes, it does have a very high course history, sticky course history, because everybody comes and plays this because it's Tiger Woods. Problem is, it's all good players that do well here. Shocking that the good players do well on a tough course. Burton's course history, where are you, is a little different player now. Look, yes, his course history is not great, and I typically have liked Sam Burns on easier courses over harder courses. But here's what I can tell you. Guy's playing good golf, right? And at some point, you got to just say, when a good player's playing good golf, you got to consider him. Thoughts on Straka this week? Don't hate it, Bob. You know me. Sepp Straka at a hard course, the big guy's in. Weather conducive to more flower week? It really is. It really is. Look, I'm telling you right now, I'm fading Morikawa, and I'm ready to be kicked straight in the nutsack. Is Griot good long, hard courses? He is. He really is. And he's good at mid to long irons. I just, you know, not the best Poa putter. But in his defense, he's not good at putting on any surface. What course comp would you consider to be the closest? What was it? Quail Hollow, I think, is what we decided the other day. Is Tiger considered a scrub and doing stars and scrubs? Yes, he is definitely a scrub by pricing. Never in my heart, but only in the pricing. Where do I get my Tikala slut enrollment form? DGEN75.com. That's why we have them there. I've been one since day one. Hey, big guy, what is the best single entry or cash process advice? So when you're doing single entry, I think that you want to avoid everybody just like, oh, I got to have this guy. Oh, I got to have this guy. Oh, I got to have this guy, because they get scared of missing out on the safe plays. I think what you want to do when you do that is you got to make a point in a good single entry to have at minimum two pivots / sleepers, preferably three, right? Or you make a point to build your roster really different. If you're going to go put Scottie Scheffner or Justin Thomas in that lineup, start saying, how can I build this lineup that's different than everybody else? I think that's the best thing you can do. Let's see. Are we getting the weather guy moving to Ship It Nation? You know it. Will Willie Z donkey jockey? I don't think he's going to be donkey jockey. He might be after I just hyped him, but I doubt it. Will Baranosaurus, a majestic animal. A majestic animal. Does Scotty really know? Oh, Scotty knows, except how to putt. What is the best thing you liked about Phoenix? Being with my friends. They were really nice. How much Zalatoris is too much? Me and you, Billy, we're all in big guy. That's why you won the drawing. You called the Will Baranosaurus. If you're doing a 3-5 max, what do you think is a good player pool size? If you're doing 3-5 max, what do you think is a good player pool size? I would keep it around 10 to 12 at the most, right? Really have some of those guys that you play in either all of your lineups or most of them, right? Kurt Kitayama, heater still? I like Kurt Kitayama on courses like this, but I ain't playing Kurt Kitayama double-digit ownership. Get the probably tell
him. Get the fuck out of here.
Is there a way to figure out the profitability of individual players over the course of an event? I don't really know what that means. Is Sam Ryder too cheap? He is, and that's why I just believe that he's going to get steamed up, my dude. Am I crazy for wanting to roll with swamp-ass Lucas Glover this week? Just a feeling. He has really bad course history. That'd be my only concern, right? Andy withdrew last week. Has he recovered from his wife beating the shit out of him? We don't know. That big 4-for-4 going to have a mass overlay? No, they'll probably throw out something to some of the higher limit players to get him to go max enter tonight. New guy, which two players are you going to be too highly owned on paired together? I don't know what that means. Any edge for round one showdown tomorrow? I mean, probably, but I don't know what it is because we don't know what the score is going to play like. That's why I'm going to be waiting till round two. A lot of Willie Z questions. You guys were on Willie Z with me. Is there 3 6K golfers in one lineup too much? Yeah, I don't like that. That's too punty for me, pal. We finally get a full 4 days of normally scheduled golf. It would appear that way, which will be nice. Tiger Woods making the cut? I'd say so. I'd say 80%. 70. Do we consider morning dew in the weather predictions? Yes, that the dew plus the cold is something I don't always love, right? Do you still do your favorite underdog plays on the site? I don't. I haven't done that in a while. I let other hucksters come in and do that stuff and give their shitty picks. Once I get settled, I will start getting back into it, though, because we literally broke them. We got them to stop allowing correlation at PGA. Welcome to the Nation, brother. Never asked about cash games. Any tips for cash game? Yeah, very simple. Don't fucking do it unless there's a huge weather edge. That's the best advice I could give you. Is there a guide you might do generally? What do you think of the golfers for the tournament? Smashers, ball strikers? Yeah, I mean, I want guys with, well, look, I want ball strikers, of course. But if I had to choose, I don't mind guys with all-around games, right? Mackenzie Hughes is a guy that can get it done almost every way. And that's the kind of guys I like, right? There's just some dudes on here that kind of don't suck at any parts of their game. So that's what I'll be considering. Let's see. Looking for questions. Let's see. Why hasn't the new guy reserved his showdown? There you go. Great question by first round leader. Do you think that makes Tiger more than three birdies tomorrow? I do. I would take over on three birdies. I would. Tiger's magical. Plus, I think it's going to be pretty nice conditions tomorrow. I think it's going to be pretty friendly to scoring. I really, really do. Haven't heard a peep on Chris Kirk this week, also playing Sungjae. Yeah, I think those are two guys that are really good players that are going on their own. Sungjae is not playing well, but, like, you know, his upside versus what he's going to be on gets there. Will there be a new flag with a merger? Yeah, I mean, yeah, there's the ship it one. That's a flag. Does Scotty really know? You guys like that question a lot. With smaller field size, how much does the max overall ownership for your lineup increase? With a smaller field size, how much does your max overall ownership for your lineup increase? Yeah, I mean, I don't ever look at total ownership, guys, okay? Total ownership is just cumulative ownership. You add up the ownership of the six guys in your lineup. I don't like that. I like to use product ownership, where I basically am multiplying the ownership of all those guys together, and then I multiply that number times the entries in the tournament, right? So, like, if you just have two guys under 10%, you'd be amazed how low it gets your overall ownership. Product ownership. If you're building a Tiger lineup, is it better to make it for cash? Do not put Tiger in cash. What the fuck are you talking about? Will you be my Valentine? I've been your Valentine, pal. Have you recovered from Phoenix? I have not. I am still hurting. Eric Soler, ever going to take a week off? Yeah, I guess that guy's playing every week. Nutted play for best ball. In which religion is Scotty not a god? I don't know of any. I just assume there's got to be some. Does a 100-to-1 trend continue this week? No chance. No chance. A big name is winning this week. Adam Scott weekend, not at 20%, pal. How much of a disadvantage is Riviera for short hitters? Not as much as you think. I mean, it's a 7,300-yard course. If a guy can be in the fairway and be hitting 175 in, that's not ideal, but you can compete in those situations if you're making some putts. Which golfer in the field is most likely to hop the fence on 13 and hit up Playboy Mansion? Man, all the guys I would normally think of have left. Charlie Hoffman. Charlie Hoffman, he's rich again. He don't give a shit. He'll go party with some hoes. Is ownership compressed with a smaller field? Yeah, it sure is. Oh, see, now I've lost the chat. Editor, YouTube sucks, man. This, like, chat, I gotta, like, click on and then click off of everybody. DJin and Shippet, who got it better than us? Nobody. I gotta click on it twice. Oh, my God, this is brutal. What are we doing, Bob? Let's see. Sorry. YouTube's updating their chat mechanism every week, and it's just always a shit show. Is there any edge tomorrow going off early this week for showdown? I don't think you want to go off completely early. I think you want to be in that Goldilocks zone around probably like an hour or two after they go off. Best iron players who are not Donkey Choke. Let's see. Cam Young. Good at those ranges. Surprise me, too. Cam Young sucks. All right, who's your favorite to be? Who is the favorite to be one that misses the cut? Somebody who will miss the cut. Gary Woodland. Sorry, Gare Bear. You know I love you. Moving on. Looking for questions. Would you make a rule in the optimizer to prevent JT from being in one lineup with Scottie Scheffler? I have both in my player pool along with Rory. Yeah, I like that. I think that when you put those two in a lineup together, you better have some other rule that says that you're playing two of these other punts. You know what I mean? Which Denny is better, McCarthy or Hamlin? Hamlin. Is Russell Henley going long iron approach any good? Yeah, well, I mean, we can look at him real quick. Let's look at old Russell Henley. It would appear as though it's good. It's actually not as good as you would think. Not as good as you would think. He's not very good at either one of those key ranges we looked at. Is that new Shippet hoodie on the guy in the back? No, we don't. He doesn't get close. I mean, he gets a blanket. That's it. When will the wife figure out that I'm watching a golf show on Valentine's Day and yell at me? I mean, we're trying to get out of here by 8, so hopefully about 8:03. So you'll already be covered. If Lowry and Fitzpatrick don't get stuck in the bad wave in this past weekend, is a different story. I think so. I thought Fitz got off to a good start, just couldn't maintain it in the bad conditions. I know he isn't playing very well right now, but is it crazy to anyone else seeing him at 8K flat? Yeah, I mean, I think he's too low, but I think it's also it's crazy that he could be that low and nobody's playing him, right? When you say overweight on your main guys, you're talking about Dumpy Bo or Patrick Mahomes. Okay. Uncalled for taking shots at Dumpy Bo. Are you back on Fantasy National? I mean, I'm not back on Fantasy National. Does Tiger have a shot in hell to be competitive? I mean, if he finished top 20, I think that'd be a great story, but I don't love it. Talking about commitments to a bunch of dudes watching DFS, I mean, over 500 if he's still here. And we're just in the chatting part right now. You know you guys are the sweaty tryhards when you stay this long. Given it's early in the season, would you give more weight to recent form or historical course history? Boy, that's a really good question, Jerry. Probably course history, but man, if they have good course history and they're in bad form, I'm not excited to play them either. So that's a really good question. That's a really good question. Not saying this is a great reason, but is Iceberg going to moonwalk at all because of no course history? I don't think so, man. That guy had no course history at Pebble Beach, and he looked like a killer. Can we see how Ben Griffin looks real quick? I mean, we go look at old Benny Griffs. Not great, Bob. Not great. Hey, he is in both approach ranges. He's 69th. Nice. That's got to mean something. I'm not sure what, but it's got to mean something. Favorite sub 7K dart. I already did that. Go back and watch the sleeper. How should I approach a balanced build? Well, if you're gonna do a balanced build, the one thing that people get into when they do balanced builds is they forget that you still have to have win equity, right? So you need to find somebody. If you're gonna start with Homa, Kawa, Cantlay, whoever it is, you gotta say to yourself, which of these guys in this lineup is gonna win? Because you know as well as I do, if you don't have the winner of the golf tournament in your lineup, you ain't winning a GPP, bro. All right, do you like the West Coast swing or prefer earlier start on the East? Oh, I like the early starts on the East. I like to wake up and already see my guys on like hole 6 and they're already 4 over and I wake up just tilted as balls. How disrespectful is Sam Ryder's price? I think you should be every bit of 6,600 this week. Will another long shot be in the winner's circle this week? Not a chance. Not a chance, pal. That's my answer and I'm sticking to it. Let's see. On the solver for salary cap percentage, do you think that there is a minimum or a maximum percentage? I noticed the optimal lineup never uses 50,000. Yeah, I don't mind setting mine as low as 49.2 and kind of capping it at 49.8, something like that, right? Let's see. Looked like, you guys like that Zalatoris video, it looks like. You love to see it. You love to see old Will Zalatoris. I mean, he's a beautiful, majestic animal. Beautiful, majestic animal. You love to see it, old Wilburonosaurus. Beautiful. Let's see here. Da, 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 da. NASCAR Rosetta Stone. We will have one, sir. You best believe it. Who are your favorite plays, big guys? You got jokes, Sam. Who got butt hurt? Somebody got butt hurt? Kick him in the nuts. Let's see. Is Shipit working on Sims? You take that up with Tambo, big guy. Hey, True Beans, get the annual and get the full NFL 24 season. Pretty smart. Pretty good advice there from old Caverino. Let's see. Ba, 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 da, da. Now I'm going to have Jurassic Park stuck in my head all night. All right. Well, let's see. 756. I'm going to answer 10 more questions. Let's see if we can do 10 more. Okay, Kevin over here making fun of my water. Kevin, you are banned from winning drawings for that. It sounds like there's a lot more, except when you do the falls on the high-end guys because they're higher win equity versus 7K guys. It sounds like there's a lot more. Okay, I don't think he's talking to me. A lot of earmuff listening to this on the way home. Sorry, daughter. Sorry, Dave. Apologize to your daughter for me and probably your wife. I'm sorry. You got to know what you're signing up for. Big man, love you, mate. Well, will everyone be playing long clubs or be too smaller off the tee to approach? Overthinking it. Yeah, no, I think being out there further makes that second club a little shorter, which is always good, Nick. Let's see. Man, this chat is brutal. Joseph says, are you Kevin Ewing again this week? I don't know. He is kind of a ball striker. He does kind of make sense, but man, that dude straight up fell apart last week. Do you also set solver variance to high or low? I usually do high because I'm more about my player pool exposures than I am getting the exact optimized lineup. I know you say Adam Scott is donkey chalk, but would you consider him in a single entry? No, you can always play donkey chalk, Deacon. The key is what are you going to do with the rest of that lineup? Are you going to put him with four other donkey chalk guys? Because then I don't love it. Bez playing decent. Augusta a comp. I don't mind Augusta as a comp for this course, actually, right? How much ranch water did I drink this weekend? Too much is the answer. Any chance you can go back to the 3 max on DK? What's your question? Any chance you can go back to a 3-max on D? I play 3-maxes all the time. I don't understand your question. Rise and Fire, how much Donkey Chucks can you play in a lineup while being different? I typically set it at 2. You'll never see me play 3 Donkey Chuck guys in a lineup together. Is Brian Harmon too short for a long course? In every way, yes. Who's your favorite pivot off of Kurt? Let's see. If I'm trying to get off Kurt Kitayama, who's a low-owned guy right here? Go give me a loser face Patrick Rogers, right? By the way, Morikawa is the pile of shit. That was funny. If you didn't laugh at that, you don't have a soul. Let's see. How much does the course matter this week? A lot. It's not easy, Bob. That's the answer. All right. Will Hogarth be preoccupied guarding the mansion? That's a legitimate question. Someone's got to protect the hose. Justin Thomas missed the cut. I will bet you good money he does not miss the cut. Was the Phoenix Trip an open invite, or did you have to be not a port? Nope. Everybody was there. Met up with about probably 20 or 30 people. Just came up and hung out. Came to Pop Stroke with us. Came to the Super Bowl party. All kinds of people were there. I don't care how much money you have. So long as you can make it to Phoenix. I mean, like, I'm not going to pay your way. I mean, we paid for the Pop Stroke. Does that count? How many Southpaws in the field, Professor Jay? What, 2, I think? I don't know. What a weird question. When did this turn into fucking trivia hour? Let's see. Chat's jumping. DJ, and we playing Rory in the 555. You're the man. Excited for the opportunity. Yes, we are not. Yes, we are not. Spike week coming from Harris English. I mean, you know, he's going to be chewing gum. I can assure you of that. Are we eating hoagies this week? I'm not, but you go ahead, bruh. All right, DJ, man, you have got to do the JT NSYNC again. Absolutely hilarious. Well, I do it for you, big guys. Can we fade course history for recent form? I don't know. How much do I adjust projections of I think the winner is going to be around minus 25? Well, if you think it's going to be around minus 25, you need to call the crazy police because it ain't going to get there. All right, guys, I think that is it. I think I'm going to go now, but before I do, do not forget to go use my code DGEM15 over at ShipIt. You get it. Use it. If you want me, you want my Rosetta Stone, you want my sleepers while I'm sleepy, you want my projections, you want my ownership, it's all over there now. We're a team, and oh yeah, you get every sport now, and you get all of that for cheaper than you would pay every other site. If you've ever been on the fence about joining a site and you haven't done it, we're doing this for people like you. We want to get you guys where you can put money into your DraftKings lineups and not into the sites that give you picks and plays, right? So, I appreciate all you guys being here. So many of you swung by. Over 1,200 of you came by tonight. Appreciate every single one of you. It has been real. It has been fun. And thank you for continuing to make this the number one stream in PGA DFS. But let's not forget, rule for 3,080. Expensive tout sites are shady. Stay the fuck away from them. Let's celebrate one more time. Me and Ship It. Let's put those hands up. I'm so high. I'm so high.